Good morning, all. Scripture reading this morning is from Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall certainly perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are entering the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, and I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Amen.
Before we meditate on God's word and his message to us this morning, I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Lord our God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to receive your word and to have open minds and hearts as to what you want to share with us this morning. I pray that your spirit will indeed open our hearts so that we can receive your message and that you will bless us now in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think it was, Yogi Berra who said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Apparently, Yogi wasn't that funny. So what Moses is saying in today's passage is that when you come to a fork in the road, take one, but take the right one. I don't know if you've ever rented a car in a foreign country. I've had to rent a car a few times in England, and it can be quite challenging because unlike in America, they drive on the left-hand side of the road to begin with, and so sometimes you really have to concentrate hard not to end up on the wrong side, and you need to remember to look to the right rather than the left when you're entering a traffic circle or a roundabout, and you shift gears with your left hand. So there were a few times I forgot that I was actually driving a stick and the car almost stalled on me. And also, you don't know the geography necessarily, and it's easy to get confused with road signs because you don't always know which direction is north or south. And so sometimes when you are arriving at a fork in the road, you're not sure which way to go. So this passage that we just read from Deuteronomy is like fork in the road directions to all of us. Moses is preaching to the people of Israel. They are camped on the far side of the Jordan River, and they anticipate crossing it and entering the promised land very soon. They've never been in Canaan, the promised land. As a matter of fact, these people have never lived in any settled area. Most of the generation that left Egypt at the time of the Exodus has died in the wilderness. And so Moses is preaching to their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And most of them were born during the 40-year trek through the desert to Canaan. Now, I just told you that when you rent a car in a foreign country, it can be quite challenging because you're not that familiar with the rules for navigating. I guess you could say that these Israelites weren't quite familiar with the rules for navigating life in the promised land. And so Moses, in what is the climax of his sermon, is giving them some directions. His own death is imminent, and he's saying, people, listen very, very carefully. You are at a fork in the road. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. They're at a fork in the road, and one way is life and blessings, and the other way is death and curses. And he says again in verse 19, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. And there's no question about which direction Moses wants the people to go, of course. He says, now choose life, then you and your children may live. And what does it mean to choose life? To choose life is to love the Lord your God, obey Him, and stay close to Him. He's your life, and He will let you live many years in the land He promised to give your ancestors, Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. Choose life. Love God. Walk in His way. So you see, to be blessed is to be with God. Blessing is linked exclusively to the Lord. To be cursed is to be without God's blessing completely. And Moses is saying to the people, you've got to make a choice. There are two options. There's no third option. You're not getting any other options in a week's time. You're about to enter the long-awaited promised land, and you've got to choose now. This is the primary choice upon which everything else in your lives depend. The choice you make changes everything. If you don't choose the way of blessing, you're choosing the way of curse. And that's in essence what God's word is saying to us this morning. We have a decision to make. We're at a fork in the road. And there are two ways and only two ways. There's God's way, and then there's the other way. And we have to choose. Now, this is not just an Old Testament thing. Jesus said the exact same thing, just in other words. He said, whoever is not with me is against me. Whoever does not work with me is working against me. Two ways. You are with Jesus or you're against Him. You either work with Him or you work against Him. He doesn't offer any middle ground. There isn't a third way as an option. When the Apostle Peter was arrested shortly after Pentecost, this is what he said to the ruling authorities in Jerusalem. We must obey God, not human authority. For him it was God's way or no way. Now listen, I know, you know, we have to make choices in life all the time, right? And making good choices will certainly help with having a meaningful and happy life, and there's truth in that. But that's not what's going on here in this context in our text today. What Moses is saying is no secret, but it's also not a mere suggestion or a program for success. Deuteronomy is not a self-help book or a personal improvement manual. Moses is not a life coach that says this would be the better option or decision when you face this or that. He's talking about the primary decision that really defines all that you are. Will you be God's person or won't you? That's the choice. We are living in a postmodern world. We're living in a world where people believe there's no such thing as moral absolutes. We're living in a world where someone not too long ago coined the phrase alternative facts. Today, people are believing that your truth is not necessarily my truth. And so let me tell you a little story. There was this pilot who was flying solo in his small plane. And he became uneasy because in front of him were heavy and black clouds that were rapidly approaching. His fuel was getting low. He was thinking to himself, should I turn back or not? But the airfield behind me is further than the one ahead. So I think I should just continue in spite of the dark clouds ahead. And so within minutes, he was engulfed in an unbroken grayness that seemed to have no dimensions. Couldn't distinguish what was up, what was down, what was right, what was left. All he could see was unchanging opaqueness. And after a while, you know, he began to feel that his plane was climbing. Yet at a glance at his instruments, it assured him that he was flying straight and level. But still the impression that he was climbing persisted and it grew stronger. And so he started thinking, have my instruments gone awry? Can I still trust them? What if they are faulty? And finally his own impressions won. And he decided something must have gone wrong with the instruments and that he had better not rely on them. And so he began to fly by the seat of his pants, as the saying among pilots go. There was a farmer making his way under sullen, overcast skies to his barn. And he heard a plane flying dangerously low. And just a few moments later, he heard the dull explosion that told him it had crashed. So what had caused the tragedy? The pilot had an absolute standard by which to determine his position, his instruments. However, he decided to trust his impressions and feelings rather than the instruments. And that's the risk you and I run when you start believing the messages you hear everywhere today that says there are no absolutes. Think what you want. Say what you want. Do what you want. And the sad result of that is that people don't know right from wrong anymore. So Moses is telling his people, and he's telling all of us, the readers of Deuteronomy, that there are moral absolutes in life. There are certain things that are always right and other things that are always wrong. There is a clarity and an absoluteness about the laws of God in this life, regardless of the fact that we are sometimes reluctant to admit it. Yes, there are obviously some things that are unclear to us. We sometimes encounter some problems where the right direction is not altogether apparent. But by and large, there's nothing ambiguous about God's way. There's nothing vague or fuzzy about God's way compared to our way or the way of the world. So for Moses, you know, there's no gray area. His message is strong, straightforward. His direction is clear. At this fork in the road, there's one choice, and only one choice is the correct choice. It's the choice that will result in blessing. And that is to follow God's way. So what is God's way? What will result in God's blessing? Let's zoom in on two words. God's way is to obey. So Moses uses two words that are linked with blessing. And the first one is obey. God's way is to obey. He says in verse 16, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I'm commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you're entering to possess. Obey God, walk in his ways, keep his commandments. So, you know, to be obedient, I mean, that's not a very popular idea today, by the way. People say, I don't know. I mean, I'd rather keep my options open. I'd rather opt for the opposite of obedience. I opt for freedom. I don't want to be restricted by God or his word. I want to be free, you know, to do my own thing. The thing is, though, obedience and freedom are kind of like directly connected. As a U.S. citizen, for example, you are free, right? The land of the free. You have freedom, but only within the bounds of the Constitution. Only within the parameters of the laws of the land. If freedom had simply no restraints, it will probably lead to trouble. And you would most likely lose your freedom. And in the same way, if you stay within the white lines of God's highway, you are free. Free to live without any moral guilt. You're free to make all kinds of personal choices that enhance your happiness. But if you tend to take a side road or a back road, or an illegal road, it might be filled with clutter and debris and maybe nails, and you're going to come to a dead end with an empty gas tank and a flat tire or two. And so God's way is to obey. Obey him. Obey his word. Obey his commandments. And the second thing is God's way is to love. That's the other key word in Deuteronomy. It's love. God's way is to love. Moses says that choosing life and blessing means that his people will love God. They will walk in his ways. They will keep his commandments. And this love is a two-way street. So what Deuteronomy shows us is that God is loyal. Loyal to his people. God is committed, absolutely committed to his children. He has a committed relationship of love with his people. God is not a random thought. God is not a word to fill in the gaps of what we don't know. God is actively, energetically dealing with you and me in love all the time. This love is both God's character and his command. Love is what God is. And love is what he tells us to do. God's way is to love him and to love our neighbor. And this love is never just a feeling, okay? It's always an action. It was God's love in action that delivered the Hebrews from Egypt. It was God's love in action that led them into the promised land. And our love for God should also be active. And we demonstrate that love by obeying his commandments. And we demonstrate our love for others by actions of compassion and care. And so at some point in our lives, we sit car idling at a fork, life at the crossroads. And in truth, there are really only two options, two choices, God's way or the other way. And so here are the driving directions. Turn onto God's way of obedience and love. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are not your puppets. You gave us the ability to choose, to make choices. Thank you that you love us so much that your commitment to us and your loyalty to us can never be doubted. And thank you that sometimes when we sit and reflect on our lives and this world, we realize that there are forks in the road, there are choices that we need to make. And my prayer is that we will make the right choices, that your Spirit will enlighten us to always make the better choice. But in this case, God, it seems like there are only two options, and that is your way or the world's way, your way or our way. And my prayer is that your love and your Spirit and your Son Jesus will enable us to choose your way of being obedient and the way of love, so that we may love you and love one another. We ask that you would bless us in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.